morning. We have visitors with us, and we want you to know you are loved by God and, of course, loved by each and every one of us. And I hope that after the service this morning, we'll get to hang around a little bit and talk with you and get to know you better and answer all the questions you may have. It is such a wonderful thing to be here in the household of the Lord, the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. And we welcome everyone here today. Of course, we're here to worship our God. We're here to hear a message from our God and from His Word. We have been studying for quite some time from the book of Ephesians. And in fact, this is the 11th lesson. And if you'll remember, the theme here in Ephesians chapter 1 through 3 is who we are. That's what the apostle is teaching the saints in Ephesus. And of course, by proxy, teaching us also who we are. All Christians have a new identity in Christ Jesus. No longer are we just simply men and women, sojourners in a life filled with trial and trouble. But now in Christ Jesus, we are called the saints in Christ. Saints, we are full of faith. And when we think of who we are the ones who are chosen by God. Paul taught us that. We are the ones who are predestined to God for adoption. We are redeemed through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We are heirs, living to the praise of His glory. And we were once dead in our sins, absolutely every one of us, but now God has made us alive. Isn't that an amazing statement? We were dead while we lived. We were spiritually dead. We were not able to discern the wonderful things of God. And God, through His love, through His mighty power, has made us alive in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And we are God's workmanship, Paul said, created in Christ Jesus for good works. We were reconciled to God in one body, simply the body of Christ. Christians having equal access to God, regardless of the color of our skin, regardless of who we are in the world, whether we are rich or poor, we are God's. We are living in the body of Jesus Christ, and we have equal access to the Father in heaven. And that's who we are. And those are the kinds of lessons we've had previously. Last time we came to understand that as Christians, we are to display the glory of God. We are to display the wisdom of God to the world. We are to display through the creation of God, the will of God, and the wisdom of God, the perfect love of God. That's who we are. That's what Paul is teaching us. Now, in this lesson today, chapter 3, the last few verses of chapter 3, Paul is going to tell us that not only are we all those things, but we are also strengthened with might. Think of that. There are so many that are downtrodden in this world. I met a young man who delivered a pizza to us last Friday night. And before he left the porch, I talked to him about Jesus. What do you know about Jesus? How's your life going in this world today? And this man, he broke my heart. All he could tell me is that life is miserable. There's no purpose in life anymore, he said. He said, I was born a Catholic and later on in life I had no idea where I'm going. I lived day to day, working two jobs, hand to foot, mouth. And he was miserable. And he says, I've tried everything. There's just no way out. I'm just waiting to die. And this man was in his 20s. And I said, you need to know Jesus. You need to know Jesus because Jesus can take away all those fears. Jesus can take away your uselessness and you can understand what your purpose is. He agreed. He took my number. We'll see. Paul, with encouraging words, will teach us that Christ, in Christ, we have been strengthened. We have purpose. We have that ability to overcome because of Him who is in us. God wants us to know that in Him we have the strength to accomplish His will. We have the strength to do all things according to His purpose. And there will be times when we feel weak. Yes, absolutely. But God wants you to know that His strength is always accessible through the Spirit, through the Word. And the first things, when you think of first things, the Apostle Paul, the first things that the Apostle Paul does is pray. He did that in chapter 1. And he's doing that again now. The Apostle Paul prays. If you look at Ephesians chapter 3 at verse 14. He prays. He gets down on his knees, he says. You look at verse 14, he said, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." That's what he's doing. He's praying for these people. And we remember back in chapter 1, the Apostle Paul prays because he sees their faith and their love. And he prays that God the Father, the God of glory, may give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that the eyes of their hearts might be enlightened, that they would see the exceedingly greatness of His power towards those who believe. That was Paul's prayer, verse 19. Remember that Paul's first words in chapter 3, he said, "For this reason," again, pointing back to all the things he's taught from chapter 1 and 2, "I, the prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles." Here in verse 14, the apostle continues with that prayer, "For this reason I bow my knees," returning to the original prayers and the original thoughts. For these Christians, he now desires that they would understand they have been strengthened with might. Strengthened with might through His Spirit. This is what He's teaching them. This is what we need to notice. And we need to take notice. And we're not talking about a physical strengthening, but a spiritual strengthening. Paul prays that their inner man is strengthened. Let's turn over to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2 for a moment. And verses 13 and 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 13 and 14. I'm sorry. Yeah, 1 Corinthians. I'm looking at 2 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. "These things we also speak, not in words which men's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit or of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." You can see there the importance of not being the natural man. The natural man in this world is going to suffer unnecessarily. The natural man in this world is not going to understand his purpose in life. He's just going from day to day, hand to mouth, living until the day that he dies in hopes that things will be good. But Paul says that's not the way. It is through the Spirit that we understand the mind of the Lord. And we understand that, and we know, and we have purpose. Do you want spiritual strength? I know you do. I can't imagine you wouldn't want that. Do you want to be strong in the Lord? I pray you do. This kind of strength that the Apostle Paul is talking about, it can be given to you by God and only by God through the Spirit in the inner man. It would be an excellent, an amazing prayer every single day of your life to pray that for yourself and to pray that for one another. That God would strengthen you and strengthen the church and strengthen individuals. To pray that prayer for one another would simply be an amazing thing. And you are strengthened by God through the Spirit in the inner man, and God doesn't simply want you to know it, but He wants you to live it. He wants you to live victorious in Christ Jesus. Not with our heads bowed down in shame because the world out there thinks we're crazy because we believe in God, because we believe in Christ, because we believe in the crucifixion and the resurrection. Not the people who are ashamed of the gospel. But people who understand the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. To people who understand the power of the word that can heal our infirmities. It can heal us spiritually and help us to live victorious in Christ Jesus. What's wrong with our life? Nothing in Christ. Our life's not going to be perfect upon this earth. God doesn't carry us over the troubled waters, but He helps guide us through it. Remember the psalmist, David. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. God strengthened David. He strengthens you. And the words of the Bible, the power of the gospel, they're not words like every other book. They're not just written words on a page. They're power. Power to change lives. Listen. This is why the author of Hebrews himself declared, "For the word of God is living and powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of the soul and the spirit, and the joints and the marrow. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." The Spirit of God is amazing. Remember that God Himself knows every number of hairs on your head. He knows what you're thinking before you think it. He understands your sorrows because He lived upon the earth. He lived here. He experienced the aggravation and the temptations of sin, yet without sin. And therefore we can relate to Him and we know He can relate to us. He's not some statue made by the hands of man. He's not some thought of a God that came from the heart of man. He is God who created all things, who made all things, and He is the one who can save us and strengthen us like nothing else upon this earth. If you look now in Ephesians again at chapter 3, verse 17, and look at what he says, that Christ may dwell in your heart. Through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. What does Paul say the purpose of the strengthening is? That Christ will dwell in your hearts through faith. Where? In our hearts. You notice that Paul didn't say that Christ is physically living in your body. Christ is sitting at the right hand of God, ruling His kingdom from heaven right now. So what does that mean that Christ will dwell in your hearts? But that you are strengthened by His Spirit. Every time you read the Word, every time you study, every time you meditate, every time you pray, every time you worship, Christ is there in your heart. Through the Word, we understand who He is. We understand why He came and we understand His love. You got to make room in your heart for Jesus. And when you do, Jesus strengthens you. No matter what happens, you could be on the Titanic. Jesus will strengthen you. Because you know that as that ship sinks, your soul rises up. And with that knowledge, what would be able to shake you? You become more and more rooted in Christ Jesus through His Spirit, through the Word. Now, Christ's will, the Father's will, it will become the controlling factor in your lives. It will become that point in which you make all your decisions, not only about things of the faith, but the way in which you live day to day, the kind of words you speak, the kind of images you refuse to see. And that's how Christ dwells in your heart, because once Christ is in there, you want to put away all the sins of the world. You want to put away all the things that defile. And you want to seek those things that are holy, rooted and grounded in love. Paul wrote to the saints in Colossae about this. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus. What does he say? As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Rooted and built up. Established in the faith. What is the faith? Again, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. When we read this, when we take this in, when we consume it as the bread of life, Christ is in us. He's dwelling in us. We are rooted and built up. Established in the faith, our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that an amazing thing? You think of a strong, towering, and powerful tree, that oak tree that's out in the middle of the field, and a great storm comes, and the rains descend and the winds blow and they beat on that tree and that tree doesn't tip over. It doesn't fall. Why? Because it's rooted, and that's the idea of being rooted. Rooted so deeply in God's Word that nothing will shake you. I remember one time, and when we think of being grounded, I remember one time of being in a building on the 32nd floor in Chicago overlooking Lake Michigan, and a great storm came in over the lake. And I was kind of worried back then. Of course, I wasn't a Christian, to be honest, but that building was shaking. That building was shaking my foundation. I thought, boy, I need to go downstairs and wait this storm out someplace safe. But that building was built on a foundation, and that building didn't fall. The rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew. They didn't knock that building over either. Why? Because it was grounded. Think of that. Remember Jesus in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 and 25. Whoever hears these words of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and they beat on that house and it did not fall. For it was founded upon a rock. That rock is Christ. That rock is the Word of God. That rock is our foundation. That rock is where we need to be rooted. I want you to consider Psalm 18 and 2. These eight things that that David says. David says, the Lord is my rock. He says, and my fortress, and my deliverer, and my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield, and the horn of my salvation, and my stronghold. Think of God. He is the rock. That thing that does not move. The fortress that protects us. The deliverer who saves us from our enemies. The God of creation who spoke everything into existence. who created all things by the word of His mouth through His Son, Jesus Christ. And He is our strength. He's our shield, again, to protect us. The horn of plenty, everything we need right there of our salvation and our stronghold. See, Paul says the purpose is the strengthening. That was God's purpose for us through this letter, to strengthen us. Remember that Christ dwelling in us is simply a metaphor. It meant to draw an image in our minds that Christ is now the center of our lives, controlling our direction, not manipulating, but guiding through the precious light of His Word, through His Spirit, changing our lives, transforming us to be more like Him, to be lights of the world as He was the light of the world. Turn over to the verses 18 and 19 of Ephesians now. And notice what's happening here. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. And the Apostle Paul, he writes, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. This is the purpose here of our strengthening, that we may know and understand the reason for the strengthening is so that we may comprehend the width, length, depth, and height to know the love of Christ. Why does every child of God need to know this, by the way? Why does every child of God need to be strengthened? Why not just the preachers and the elders and the teachers? Paul tells us the answer. So that we may have the strength to comprehend. We may be able to comprehend. When you don't have Christ, when you don't have this knowledge, when you're not seeking God's wisdom, you won't be able to understand the width, the length, the depth, and the height of the love of God. You won't be able to understand that. He wants us to know what these things are, the depth of His love, that understanding that passes all knowledge, to be filled with all the fullness of God. Those are the three things that He really wants us to have, and those are the reasons for our strengthening. Paul writes to the Christian saints, praying to God to strengthen them, and why? Because we can let down our guard. If we're not careful, we can let down our guard, we can kind of relax our spirit a little bit, we can begin to coast through life and just begin to enjoy the pleasures of this world. And then we get caught up. We're living life without that spiritual compass. We don't know which is the right way anymore. Why? Because we can forget who we are. When we read the book of Ephesians chapter 1 through 3, every time we read it, we're learning again who we are. We're being grounded and established in the most holy faith. That's why we study. That's why we preach. That's why we get together and talk about the good things of God's Word. Because we can forget that we need Christ. We can start depending upon ourselves. I don't need Christ. I don't need the Holy Spirit. I've got everything I need. Thank you, God. I have a great house. I have 3 cars. I have heating and air conditioning. I have a big screen TV. I have a big bank account. I don't need anything. Thank you, God. We can also forget to allow Christ to be that very center that He needs to be in our lives, deeply rooted in our hearts. Why do we need to try to understand the vastness of His love? Why? Can't we just say God so loved the world? Why do we need more? Why do we need to expand that knowledge? It is so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. You may be filled with the knowledge of God. You remember what Paul wrote to the Romans in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 5 and at verse 5. Now hope does not disappoint. Why? Because love, the love of God, has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Love doesn't disappoint. We have Christ in our hearts. Or hope, rather, doesn't disappoint. We have Christ in our hearts. I have hope of eternal life. I have hope in the resurrection. I have hope in the power of God, in the power of God's Word. I can't be disappointed. I can lose something in this life. I can lose the house, the three cars. I can lose the big bank account and the big screen TV. But I still have hope. Because that hope is in eternity. Not in the physical things of this world, not in the temporal things, but the things that exist in the spirit realm and the things that will be ours on the day of judgment. Because God has poured it out in our hearts, that wonderful love. That's why. You can't have hope that does not disappoint if you just trickle through the Spirit, trickle through the Word of God, hit it here and there, now and then. You'll never know the depth of the love of Christ doing that. And I think the tragic consequence of that is almost always the same for every soul. When you turn and you begin to walk away from your daily studies, from your daily prayers, from your daily meditation, when you walk away from worshiping God in spirit and truth, when you walk away from opportunities like on Wednesday for Bible studies, you are walking away from God. And the terrible consequence of that is eventually you don't make all the right choices because Jesus is no longer the center of your life. He's no longer your compass. Now Jesus is just words in a book. When you stop seeking the depth, the length, the height, then you stop seeking God. And quite frankly, if you've done that, you know that. It's not a secret. It's not a secret between you and God, you and yourself. And in the end, it's not a secret between all the saints. That's tragic. That, you know what? That is when the weight of Satan's influence begins to take over. Satan starts to become your compass. And his attacks begin to cause you to falter. And stop following Jesus altogether. How many people have done that? How many people do you know? The opposite is true. The exact opposite of that is true for those who daily seek to know His love. The opposite is true. The result is strengthening by God through the Spirit in the inner man. The opposite is that you become more rooted, more grounded in the truth, more understanding of faith, more understanding of God's love. Christ is at home in your hearts all the time, from beginning of the morning when you wake up until the time you go to sleep at night. Christ is now the very center of your life. That's the opposite. You must develop a desire for strengthening, for prayer, for strengthening so that you may know more and more every day the love of Christ. That's the catalyst that transforms. That's what transforms your life. That's what helps you to understand more the fullness of God and His purpose for you in your life. It helps you to understand more deeply who you are in Christ. Paul is saying you can be transformed. You can have a radically new life in Christ Jesus. You can be strengthened by God through the Spirit in the inner man. You can be rooted and grounded in love. You can have strength in the inner being. And if you still don't believe it, turn over to verses 20 and 21. The Apostle Paul writes, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." God is able, powerful, in His own strength, to do exceedingly and abundantly above. Imagine that. God, the Creator, the one who holds all things together by the power of His Word. The one who formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed the breath of life into man, and man became a living soul. The one who predestined us to adoption. The one who died upon the cross for our redemption. The one whose blood was shed and powerful enough to save us from our sins. That God, His own strength is limitless. And His strength can do exceedingly and abundantly above, and listen, above all that we ask or think. Not only can He do what we ask exceedingly abundantly above what we ask, but now He's saying even what you think, above and beyond. Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2. David writes, "My help comes from the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth." Think of that. "My help comes from the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth." In the first verse, he says, "I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help." Where is it coming from? From my God. The one who comes. The Lord who made the heavens and the earth. Strengthening with might in His Spirit in the inner man. From the Word of the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. Amazing. Remember John in 1 John chapter 4 verse 9. "In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world to walk among us, that we might live through Him." He needs to be the center of our life. Paul, he is the one who said, "I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ now lives in me. And the life which I live by faith in the Son of God who gave Himself for me and loved me, who loved me and gave Himself for me." That's our compass. Jesus Christ inside here. The one who's able to do exceedingly and abundantly all that we ask or think. That is the true love of God toward us. And we need to understand that love. Where is this exceeding abundantly love? Where is it? It's in our hearts. Within us. The power of God is at work in our hearts. Verse 20. "And when you get the Lord our God and Christ and through the Holy Spirit, when you get that into your heart through faith, God can do far beyond whatever you ask or think." He's that great. How does He do it? Remember the song that we sang before the lesson, "Let Him Have His Way With Thee." let him have his way with thee. That's how he does it. When we let him have his way with us, he is our compass. He is our guide. He is the lamp unto our feet and the light unto our path. He is our purpose, our strength. When we let him in, when we let him have his way with us, that's who God is, and that's what he's offering. Do you have a vice in this life? His power can make you what you ought to be. That's what the song says. Think of that. Do you have bad habits? His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. That's what the song says. Are you struggling in life with sins, with depression, or feeling inadequate, or feeling useless? His love can fill your soul, and you will see. 'Twas best for him to have his way with thee. Wonderful thought through the Word of God. God is able. And the power that works in us is for our strengthening, so that we can walk through this life with the full knowledge of Christ our Savior, the depth of God's love. Brethren, I pray, friends, I pray that this is your life. And if you have not obeyed the gospel, won't you let him in? Won't you let him have his way with you to change your life, to transform you from unable to able, to strengthen you in the inner man? God has the power to do that. You can't do that on your own. You can't do that without God. You need God's strength to do that. You need the power of the Word. You need the blood of Christ. Remember that the power of His Word, it made everything that exists to exist. And therefore, He has the power to help you. If you're a child of God and you have been caught up in some manner of sin or problems or troubles in your life, remember Paul's closing words. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. God will glorify himself through you. All you need to do is repent of your sin, come back and be restored to that relationship with him. There's two forms of choice today. God's glory, it needs to be seen in us, in the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. God's power can certainly set you free from any sin. No question. The question is, are you ready this day to accept him, to accept his invitation? Jesus said, come unto me all ye that are heavily laden and burdened, and I will give you rest. He promises to give you that strengthening within the inner man that you need. If you're not his, if you have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ by hearing and being taught the word of God, John chapter 6 verse 45. If you do not believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, you will perish, John 8 and 24. And so we must believe. In Luke 13 and 3, Jesus says, unless you repent, you shall likewise perish. Will you do that today? Recognize your sinful nature and repent of sin. Turn away. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. Unless you confess me before men. If you confess me before men, I will confess you before the Father. You can do that today. You can confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, here before this assembly. And then Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. And you can do that today. If you have a need, please, won't you come forward now as we stand and as we sing.